I'm Dave Winfield, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 54 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at the Bridge Bar in Beckenham. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello, Jeff.
Cookie's not with us.
He's
sort of with us. I can see him down there.
He's limbering up. And all I'm going to say is you'll be thankful this is an audio podcast and not something, not a video. Because
we've got the privilege of recording this in the boardroom this evening. And as we look out over the Hayes Lane pitch, there is a certain group of Bromley FC staff members, shall we say, and management and first team manager.
Spirited. Individuals,
including Chairman, by the way, Robin Santon Gleaves, who are about to take on, is it Charlton Athletic Trust or?
Yeah, I believe
their
so.
Staff
yeah,
in a friendly game. To be fair, it's charity. I think they're raising money for a mental health charity.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic cause. However, I am not paying entry to watch this.
No, I don't think anyone should be subjected to that. The players are all paying, obviously putting in a bit of money.
Cookie's out there, to be fair. He's all limbering up.
Yeah, Cookie's limbering up. And as I said,
who else have we got out there? We've got Scott the chef. We've got Mark Hammond,
Robin Stanton Gleaves,
Wayne Security, Alex helps out in finance, Tom Beaumont, Head of Education.
Loads of academy coaches.
Loads of academy
Gary Alexander's out there.
Is he?
Yeah, Gary Alexander, Ted, the old kit man, Mark Carr, youth coach.
Mark Carr, the youth team coaches out there.
And someone who's on the opposition team, Marlon Patterson.
Where were we? Podcast.
Yes, back to that.
What was I going to say?
We were going to run through what...
No, firstly, a massive shout-out to Graham Martin.
As always,
last, but the fantastic intro that you guys listen to every single week is him and his band's fantastic creation. Is it at Dog Stand?
It is
Twitter?
At Dog Stand, yes. At Mr. Dog Stand.
At Mr. Dog Stand.
I think it is.
There's also CDs sitting in the club shop.
There are, and actually, Graham, while we're talking about him, I had Neil come into the office today and say, can we get this track sent to Frankie Raymond, as the players absolutely love it and want it as part of their dressing room pre-match routine, which is phenomenal. So thanks, Graham. It's growing on everyone. It's a fantastic track. I absolutely love it. Without further ado, shall we run through tonight's running order? So first of all, we're going to catch up on the Yeovil match and hear from Neil Smith. Obviously, in the midst of that was a red card issue to Chris Bush. We're going to get an update on that and a little squad update as well concerning a lone player. We're going to look at the Academy Team of the Week. We've got some squad news for you, some positive squad news, which we're going to catch up on and hear from the new signing. Mark Hammond's going to give us an update on the Girls Academy's trials and tribulations from this week. We're going to hear from Frankie Raymond as well. We're going to look ahead to the Chesterfield match, which is obviously the day after we recorded this podcast. We're going to get an answer to, or some answers to, the fans' question that's been running, I think, for 3 weeks now.
So fantastic answers, really.
We really have.
Sorry, I'm just watching out there. I don't know what's going on.
Who's the manager?
I don't know.
Barry's the manager, isn't he?
He's been up the starting 11.
I think Barry's the manager.
Is he really?
I think so, yeah.
Are they going on a warm-up? Are they going on a team run? Oh, this is brilliant. Is Ronan and Paddy down there? Are they filming and taking
They're
photos?
They're filming and taking photos. So this will be released for your entertainment at some point, I think, in one way or another.
Okay. Like you said, Matt, I'm going to start with... oh, my Lord, they're running in lines. This is brilliant. Is it follow the leader?
I don't know if I can watch this.
This is brilliant.
Scott's just got the biggest grin on his face. It's like a kid on Christmas Day.
Honestly, it's crazy, isn't it? Look, they get to go out there and play football. We've got to crack on and work.
Well, crack on with a beer in hand.
starting off with the Yeovil game, Matt. Another fantastic crowd, over 2,200 here at Hayes Lane. And it had everything, really, didn't it? And luckily, Matt, you were on commentary duty for a home game for a change. That was nice. We're trying to make it work, aren't we, for home games? We like the fact we're able to add it to video highlights, etc. And hopefully it adds another dynamic to our coverage. But here it is. Here's a very brief summary of the action for those of you who weren't there.
Goal kick's taken, flicked on by Cheek, and it's going to be a foul here. I think there's going to be a book. Oh, he's sent him off! It's a red card for Collins. He's taken down Ben Williamson and he has sent him off.
slightly quiet in the past few minutes. He hasn't gone into any challenges, but he's won them. Needs to be careful.
And Duffus is through on goal here. Is it going to be another red card here? I think it is. Chris Bush is sent off for Bromley.
Holland to Edmunds Green. Has to go back to Holland as Hippolyte was on him. Pass from Holland back to Wood. Wood tries to play a long ball into Raymond. Raymond's going to get there at this rate. Frankie Raymond is...
He's given a penalty to Bromley. Penalty to Bromley here as Frankie Raymond is taken down in the box.
And has been taken down and has got the chance here to put Bromley into the lead. He's got to beat Stuart Nelson from the spot. Upstep Frankie Raymond.
He scores! 1-0 to Bromley. Frankie Raymond with the penalty in the 65th minute. And Bromley have the lead here at Hayes Lane.
But still in Yeovil possession here. And it's another one to Yeovil. Another throw in here. Towards the edge of the box. We're a minute and a half over the additional time here. I'm not sure what's happened. But here's Lee with another opportunity to get a ball into the box. He does. It's towards the back post. Headed, and it's into the net, and it's an equaliser for Yeovil. 2 minutes over the additional time.
How many minutes over was that, Matt?
2 minutes over. 2 minutes! No, it was in the 97th minute, and I was rightly fuming, and I think
I was
Bromley fans would agree with me.
Where you got the original 5 minutes from.
Well, I think that was excessive in itself, but... Really, you know, you've got the Yeovil fans, the smarty pants, posting, oh, you made two substitutions. Yes, we did, but it was a double substitution, which does not constitute 2 minutes, exactly.
Someone's going to read the rule book and say it still counts as two separate things or something. But the game itself, Matt, two red cards before we saw any goals.
Well, two red cards before half-time as well, obviously. Lee Collins, the Yeovil captain, being sent off on 38 minutes for pulling down Ben Williamson when he was through on goal. And Chris Bush receiving his marching orders as well a minute before half-time for allegedly pulling down Courtney Duffus. And obviously, we reviewed it after the game and looked at it several times. We made the decision to appeal that. And obviously, the news was good that we were able to...
People, it's potluck, honestly.
It is, yeah.
I've never, in all the time that we've done it, been appealed something and had any idea whether we were going to win or not. They always say it has to be a clear and obvious error and things like that. But nevertheless, it was debated, etc. It was finally submitted on the Monday. Obviously, we'll come on to that briefly. Sorry, Matt. But... The goals.
So obviously Frankie Raymond playing something of a forward-thinking player, which is unusual in the second half, got himself into a really, really good position to run onto a through ball and was fouled in the box. Referee pointed to the spot. He picked himself up, dusted himself down and dispatched the spot kick. Yeah, absolutely. No keeper saving that. It was perfectly placed. And then, about 20 minutes later, actually found himself through on goal. Another fantastic run. And he's just shot it straight at the keeper.
Who played it, laid it off to him? Was it Mickey?
Mickey wasn't playing.
Well done, Jeff.
No, I can't remember who it was, but it was a great run.
2-1, yeah.
All that was missing was the finish.
The keeper, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's just... Nelson's made a good save, to be fair to him. And then, as we touched on earlier, you could just see Yeovil were going to throw everything they got as Tom Beaumont's just slipped over in the warm-up. You could see they were going to chuck the kitchen sink at us, and they did. And... you know, I was saying on the commentary when it went past 95 minutes, I don't know why we're still playing, and he just seemed to play until they scored. And obviously, the goal went in, the centre was taken, and literally the whistle was blown.
It's one of those, though. You get over it, like, so okay, everyone dusts themselves up, you get in on Monday, you go, right, okay, we're going to do right, we're going to appeal this, let's get that done, you know. And we got the good news on a Tuesday, was it? Or was it Wednesday?
Yeah, no, it was confirmed over the phone Tuesday and in writing Wednesday. Yeah.
Brilliant. It's a lovely, lovely little high. Tuesday afternoon, not a problem. Brilliant. I'll ring the manager, give him the good news. Fantastic. You let Bushy know via message. Yeah. You're thinking...
He was delighted. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Ring up Smudge. Literally, before I... Was it before? No, I gave him the good news. Brilliant. And I didn't... There wasn't much of a reaction on the phone. And then he went, Jeff, they've called him back. I've gone, who? Well, we know who, Matt.
Romani Edmunds Green, and shortly after got the email to confirm that was the case. And Romani is someone, listen, who's come in. He came in at the last minute before the Halifax game. You know, not a lot was expected of him. He was a player with potential, but every single time he played, he looked incredibly composed.
He's years beyond the
He was playing in any position that Neil asked him to, which included three or four different ones at least, and actually really gave a good account of himself while he was here. And, you know, we were sort of left thinking, if we can keep him for the rest of the season, what a coup that is. And unfortunately, it wasn't to be. But you can see why they've called him back. He is clearly going to be a very good player.
Yeah, I understand. It's a genuine call back for performance sake. It's not, it's not a list of injuries or anything like that, is my understanding. But like you say, we spoke to Neil there, and Neil gave us his reaction to all of that. And here it is.
So, Neil, the dust has settled after the Yeovil match now, and we've received the good news that Chris Bush's red card has been rescinded. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, no, obviously disappointed that he got sent off in the first place, because we were adamant he wasn't touched. But then, you know, as I said in the interview after the game, if you put yourself in a situation, it makes the referee have to make that decision. And, you know, I said after the game that we thought he wasn't touched. And fair play to the FA and to the ref to actually own up to that mistake, although it being too late and it's probably affected us and a result, they have made the right decision.
Unfortunately, we received a bit of bad news at the same time we got that, and that is that Romani Edmonds-Green has now been recalled by Huddersfield Town, a player who's been very versatile for you and looks years ahead of his age.
No, he's done brilliant, Romani, and I'd like to thank him for the effort he gave to this club as well. And you know, it just proves that, you know, we've had it with Alfie Doughty. They come in, they've improved to such a degree that they're going back into the Championship. And how can I stand in anyone's way? You know, he's come in, his attitude was second to none. The fact that I just said, oh, you're playing left back, no question. Playing right back, no question. Playing centre midfield, no question. Going to do a job at centre half because we've lost a player. He never ever questioned anything that we wanted to do. And I thought that, you know, with his attitude like that, he'll go a long way in the game. And I appreciate that Huddersfield allowed us to have him. And obviously, when you take a lone player, you're always going to be on that one where they could call him back at any time. But so they've only called him back because of how well he was doing here at Bromley Football Club.
We've had a few days recovery now after that Yeovil match, and Saturday we make the trip to Chesterfield.
Yeah, again, you know, you're going to a massive club. We've just obviously played Yeovil, ex-league club. We've now got another one in Chesterfield. Fantastic stadium, support. You know, John Sheridan, a fantastic player and a manager, having a bit of a difficult time, but, you know, we know it's going to be a tough game. And, you know, we know we're going to have to be at a full metal and produce how we know we can produce to try and get a result there.
Neil, thank you.
Thank you.
It's never dull, Matt. Neil obviously refers to Chesterfield there, obviously up next. We're going to move on to that slightly later. But first, Matt, we're going to touch base with the Academy.
Yeah, and what a better place to start than the Academy Team of the Week. This does incorporate the under-23s as well, I have to add. So Academy and under-23 Team of the Week. Congratulations to Danny Mills, who is the Boss of the Week, Kerry Beffen, who is the Player of the Week. And the Team of the Week is as follows. Jay in goal, Alfie, Camille, Alessio and Abigail in defence. Her midfielders are Mia, Rabi, Malik and Enver, and Joachim and Nicholas up front. So congratulations to all of them.
Fantastic. Great to see both men and female names amongst that list, Matt. And as the manager of the week?
Yeah, Danny Mills. So congratulations to him, obviously, under-23 manager, and Kerry Beffen, an under-23 player as well. So a good week for the under-23s by the looks of it.
Absolutely brilliant. And speaking of the Girls Academy, Matt, they had a fantastic experience this week.
They did, yeah. They well, we didn't find out till sort of the last minute, did we really, that they were actually going to go up to St George's Park, which is the obviously the training ground.
I would have offered to drive the minibus.
Well, yeah, you know, media day out, you know, anyway. So they had the amazing opportunity to go and play a tournament up there, and we were all really, really delighted for them, wishing them the best of luck, etc. We heard back, we got some amazing photos, etc., from the day, a couple of videos, there are a couple of clips of goals online. But who better to catch up with than Mark Hammond to give us his verdict on what happened?
So, Mark, it's always an interesting week for the Academy, and this week in particular, the girls, quite an achievement, playing at St George's Park and getting some eye-catching results up there as well. What were your thoughts on it? I know you were up there yourself.
Yeah, it was an amazing event. The National Youth League hosted a tournament at St George's Park. So we was placed into the group with Norwich, Oxford United and AFC Sudbury. And our first game was against Norwich. And I think it took that game for the girls to kind of navigate their way around the tournament football, the rules as well. But you know, we lost 2-0, but it was a good contest. And I think if we'd have had probably a little bit longer, they'd have they could have competed more. But they gave a good account of themselves. And then in the second game, we beat Oxford United 3-0, and two amazing goals, which are online on our Instagram, and I think you've put them on Twitter, from Shamoy Campbell and Amir Lockett scoring an amazing goal as well. So yeah, really proud and pleased for them to experience that. And then they won an amazing left foot long range that went in the top corner from Ellie Rivers with her left foot. But it was an amazing experience for the group and the team, and the squad from both the first years and the second years to travel away and experience St George's Park, you know, the heart of English football.
And isn't it just incredible to see a Bromley Football Club team going toe to toe with the likes of Norwich and Oxford, as you were saying?
There was several Premier League teams there. There was Bournemouth, Tottenham, Norwich, and then there was Gillingham, and all established girls' academies who've been on the circuit for, I was speaking to a few of their coaches for, you know, best part of 8 to 10 years, but we've only been going 2 years, and we finished 5th out of 12, and it was only by 2 points how we didn't qualify for the semis. But really proud and pleasing day for the girls.
Lots of academy staff up there, I know, as well, must have been equally proud of everyone, and the girls themselves must be looking back on that as something they'll remember for a long time.
From our you know, our small achievement, the person or the chair lady that runs the tournament has actually, I'm kind of in negotiations with her already to bring the tournament home to Bromley for next season, because they'll run it every 2 years. So just talking, and she was really sort of impressed with our setup and the conduct and the way the girls, how professional they were. And we got talking, and I said, look, we'd like to host everybody here, and it's something we're looking to explore and hopefully host next year, and sort of underpin the Euros. So it could be exciting summer for the girls.
Well, Mark, an incredible achievement for the academy, so congratulations, and thanks for joining us.
Brilliant, thank you, Matt.
Great to hear from Mark there, and as he refers to, absolutely fantastic to see the football club at the girls' academy on that same page as those Premier League teams you refer to, and being mentioned in the same context. Considering it started from nothing, it is a fantastic achievement.
I mean, it's still in its early days, isn't it? You know, it's only been going for a couple of years now. I think this is the second intake. So it's phenomenal. And it's great to see that our club is, at this level, something of a pioneer in that respect.
A massive shout out to Mark, Tom, Sue, and all the coaches involved in that. It's absolutely fantastic too.
Most of whom are on the pitch now.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm watching that here. They've had a team photo and everything. It was like a Champions League
photo. They had a walkout.
They did the old handshakes.
Cookie
everything.
Is going to complain.
Oh, they swap ends. Who swapped ends?
Oh, swapping ends. They've done the coin toss. Cookie's going to complain that there was no walkout
music.
The
away team have won the toss. I think they've...
Psychological,
blimey. Anyway, back to first team affairs, Matt. One player out, one player in.
Yeah, so obviously we got the unfortunate news about Romani, and best of luck to him, may we add. Neil was intent on replacing the loss of Romani before Saturday, and that was going to be proved quite difficult given that he had, 2 days, if that, to do it. But as usual, it's Frantic Friday, and we had another signing today at Bromley Football Club, and that was Dave Winfield, who is a 31-year-old centre-back who has represented the likes of York City, Shrewsbury Town, Wickham Wanderers, more recently Ebbsfleet United and Chelmsford City, and he actually scored the goal that's got Ebbsfleet level in the playoff final to get up to this league. So,
mistakes.
Yeah. No, fair play to Neil for getting it, getting him in nice and quick. And yeah, we got the paperwork done today, and all confirmed and good to go. So he is a very experienced player, 31 years of age, and will definitely add something to our defence at the minute, which is a bit light given recent injuries.
Fair play to everyone who's moved quickly, backed by the board, etc. Neil's got it over the line, etc. And Matt, you've had the pleasure of catching up with both the player and the manager, and here's what they both had to say.
Dave Winfield, welcome to Bromley Football Club. How does it feel to join?
Thank you. Yeah, no, listen, I'm delighted. I spoke to the gaffer a couple of times in the past, and like I say, yeah, I'm delighted to get it over the line.
And you know a fair few players here, don't you, already?
Yeah, I've worked with a few of the boys that are here now, so it should ease the transition a little bit. But yeah, listen, they're a great bunch of lads here. I know that already, and the setup's fantastic, so I'm looking forward to getting going.
And touching on that setup, you'll have played here over the years, but it's changed a fair bit, hasn't it? And when you walked in today, what were your impressions of it?
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Yeah, you've definitely done some work, and ongoing, you know, and it's nice to see that there's a plan in place to, you know, take the club forward, which is, you know, it's very appealing.
And potentially straight into action away to Chesterfield tomorrow, big game to get started in.
Yeah, big games, you know, and that's what we want to play in. You know, all us players want to play in big games that matter. And, you know, I'm excited to get the boots on and get going.
Well, Dave, welcome and thank you.
Thank you.
Neil, so you've just signed Dave Winfield, a very experienced player, and I know you're delighted to add him to your back line.
Yeah, he was someone we were talking to at the beginning of the season about coming on board. For whatever reason, it didn't happen, but he's someone I've been keeping a close monitor on. And obviously with what happened to Mark Anthony and then Romani having to go back, I just need to fill that void at the back. He comes in with a load of experience. He's played at the top level. He's, you know, he's been in and around the playoffs with Ebbsfleet over the last couple of seasons as well. So, and he knows the players. He knows Coulson, he knows Bushy, he obviously knows Cheek. He's coming into a good environment. He's a leader of men. And going with 20-odd games till the end of the season, I'm going to need that.
Great to hear from both men there. I'm still... how many minutes are we in at this game?
This is entertainment. I'm just going to say that.
Bromley are in, what were you, Matt? All yellow?
All yellow, yeah.
All yellow. Charlton in blue, is that right?
Yep. Oddly.
Oh, Lino, I don't know. We're on the break here, man.
No, I think the Lino's a Bromley player, given that he's wearing all yellow, so I think he's been a bit lenient there.
Who is he running the line?
And that is Robin with a brilliant header away.
Is he playing centre-back?
He is, yeah, by the looks of it.
James Tanner, kit man, left-back.
He's definitely getting stuck in.
Anyway, Matt, that's my boss. Great to hear from both men there. Obviously, Neil delighted. Obviously, player delighted. And I don't want to do him too much of a disservice because he's not that old, but no. It's not the first time a club have brought in more experienced heads during the season. I think of Chorley and Johnson in the past.
Yeah, like you say, he is a little bit younger, is Winfield. But he's got the experience that you need. And obviously a great figure for the younger players to look up to. And hopefully someone who's going to bring that experience onto the field with him. Oh, the ball's just hit the ref there. And shore up the defence. Like I say, it's another option which we've been lacking recently due to injuries. So good luck to him and I look forward to seeing him play.
And on the player front, Matt, you had the pleasure of catching up with goal scorer Frankie Roman this
Always
week.
A pleasure.
Frankie, plenty of games played and behind us now, the last of which, of course, Yeovil Town. A frustrating result in the end.
Yeah, it was. I think the boys performed brilliantly. I think when you look at the whole match, I think we was a better team and deserved a win. So I think to concede so late in the game, obviously in the 97th minute, like when the boys come off, it felt like a loss. I think that proves how far as a club and as a team that we've come, that we're coming off the pitch disappointed with a 1-1 draw against Yeovil.
And obviously that was pretty much bare bones, a lot of players missing in previous weeks, and I suppose getting a draw, not the end of the world in the end?
No, definitely. I think, yeah, like as you said, there's a lot of injuries, which is expected at this time of the year, but that's where the squad comes in. And I think we have got the strength and depth this year to deal with it. I think when you look on our bench and the players that we've got, we have got a strong 17, 18 players. So I think we'll be able to deal with it.
And yourself, obviously, just coming back from a slight knock, made a couple of sub appearances and then got the start Saturday and the goal. How are you feeling about your own performances and fitness?
Yeah, no, I feel good now. I feel good. It was good to be back in the team. As I say, we've got a strong squad of however many players, and when you find yourself out of the team for a week or so, you may be kept out for another few weeks because the boys are playing so well. So when you're in the team, it's all about taking your chance and staying in the team. So which is only a healthy thing for the whole squad.
And obviously we're coming up to that Christmas period now where there's a lot of fixtures. Is that something you relish as a player?
Definitely. You want to be playing the games. And the Christmas period is always a big one for us, wanting to be at the top of the league at the end of the season. It's a big time of the season for us, so hopefully we can pick up as many points as we can.
And obviously the next game is the trip to Chesterfield on Saturday, massive stadium, big fan base. You looking forward to it?
Definitely. It's another game that you really want to play in. It's one of the away games that is an attractive one. I think where they are in the table, I think wherever they are, I think when you go away there, as you said, with a big crowd, the big stadium, it's always going to be a tough game. But we'll go there full of confidence after Yeovil's performance, and we'll be looking for the win.
Frankie, thank you.
No worries, mate.
Great to hear from Frankie. Clearly, himself and the boys looking forward to the Chesterfield clash. We're going to come on to that shortly. But we are finally going to get round to our question of the week. We've had some fantastic responses so far, and we've tried to get as many in as possible. So, Matt, will you remind us of the question?
Yeah, so the question was, can you think of a one-hit wonder that has played for Bromley Football Club, as in has played one or two games, four or five games, I would say, maximum. I think anything above that is not really classed as a one-hit wonder. So, like you say, Jeff, we've had fantastic...
Where are we going to start? We're going to start with Twitter.
I think we are going to start with Twitter. And Blood and Sand, otherwise known as Lloyd Chambers. John Goodman, who was a different story, sorry. Hashtag ka-ching. I know exactly what he means.
But he also referred to the kit.
I'd offer up the one game wonder that was in the red and green quartered shorts we played in at Moseley one year. And I believe they were dirt cheap off one of the manufacturers that they were getting rid of. That night, one got ripped as there was no spares. It never saw the light of day again.
Colin Head, Stephen Ball, early 2004, big striker who scored against Carl Shorten and Dulwich in the first couple of games. Looked a real prospect. Then he fell out with the manager and got released. He ended up playing in the Kent League. Good few levels lower than he could have. They put a photo up. I don't know if you've seen this. Have you seen that? It's in front of, where is it? Carl Shortwell, isn't it? It's got the old Sutton Comet advert or whatever. It looks like he's about to kick out the advertising board.
It will
be on the goal. It's a great photo.
Pete Williams says Michael Ingo with a gif of someone running out of breath quite quickly.
Oh, that was a funny spell, wasn't it?
It was.
Obviously, the one that most people came up with was Steve Pinnell.
Yeah, Steve Pinnell. Ian Jeffrey's favourite player of all time.
He's got the
time.
Shirt. Definitely Steve Pinnell for me. He had a call from the club asking if I had a spare room for him. I don't remember it. I don't know who that was. Yeah. Spare room sleeping. His agent looked like Huggy Bear. Turned up at Southport away. Lost 5-3 a week before Xmas. And hit side netting with first touch.
Says betting.
I still own his shirt. What's that one? Top.
Big Norwegian Dave... Vin Nguyen, supposedly a brilliant Vietnamese international, who turned out to be possibly the worst player I've ever seen. Didn't last long.
James Hearn's quite a good one, to be fair. I didn't give this one. I remember being very excited when we signed Antonio Germain in 2012. Played for QPR, Southend and Yeovil before joining us. He lasted two games.
Yeah, I remember that. And then got signed up by Gillingham, if I remember rightly.
Did he?
Yeah, I think that's where he left us.
Another one, to be fair, from most recent. Andrew Miller drops us an email, podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk. And he said... hi guys, love the podcast. Thank you, Andrew. My one game wonder, or three games in this case, Sean Mikulski.
Four games, yes.
Four games.
Who's now just joined
Halifax
Town.
Scored the win on his debut versus Notts County. Made a couple more substitute appearances and went back to Forest Green.
He did, yeah. Now he's at Halifax. So,
it's a
good one, actually.
It?
Yeah. Couple more that we thought of, Jeff. Callum Davis, he literally was a one-game wonder. Played away at Grimsby, didn't he, in a 4-1 defeat and actually scored as defender.
Oh, fantastic story about that
one. Was never seen again.
Fantastic story about that one. We signed him on the Friday, I think. We were away. It was one of our first overnights of the season, I think. We were staying in Lincoln. And we tried to do all the paperwork before the coach was leaving on Friday morning. So that was it. Done the paperwork. No idea if the FA was going to accept it or not. And then we headed up to the games. I had the paperwork on us just in case, because there's always some changes or something that's got to be made. And... I remember at Lincoln, we were staying at the hotel where I think it was that night in the bar that finally the email came through from the FA to always being confirmed. It was like 8 o'clock at night or whatever.
Happened with Sam Wood as well, didn't it? Yeah, same thing.
Fantastic. He's being confirmed. Brilliant. Not a problem. We've got all the kit packed. Oh, hang on. What about a shirt?
Oh, no.
We've got to get a name. We've got to get his name on the back. Woke up next morning, Grimsby. Get up to Grimsby nice and early. Matt, I'm in their club shop. In their club shop with a blank shirt getting... I can't remember what number it was put on the
20
front.
20-something?
On the back of it. And they still had the Football League letters. Because they had to tell how long they had been relegated for. So I had to say, Kitman had done us a massive favour. So we went into the club shop, started printing the name on the back. It was in a different letter. I think we were in yellow that day, were we?
Yeah.
And I think it was white lettering instead of black lettering or whatever. and I was getting a lot of grief off the home fans. We're going, oh, I'll have a look. And I remember I left, we stuck 20, they had like a little Grimsby Town tin, I can't remember what they were raising money for, we stuck 20 quid in it, and they went, thank you. And like you say, Matt, didn't we start like, were we like 3-0 down or something before half-time?
And then he scored.
Then he
didn't he get taken off at half-time?
I think he scored on like 44 minutes, diving header, and then didn't he get subbed?
I think so,
and did we ever see him again?
No. He was a one-game wonder.
That is the literal...
Another brilliant one-game wonder, and I have to take credit for this, unfortunately. It's not something I do often, but Billy Granger, the goalkeeper, who appeared in our 4-0 away defeat to Aldershot Town.
Oh, wow.
Sky blue shirt and shorts and yellow socks. And, yeah, safe to say, he did actually travel the next week with the team to Boreham Wood and was... you know, a backup if needed, but actually got into an argument with a steward outside and Neil had to go outside and calm it down. So he was literally a one game wonder. Played one game, lost 4-0, shipped 4 goals, and was never seen again in
shipped.
His past. Shipped,
oh,
yes.
Stuart, I'm on Facebook, Stu Bowman, Curtis Warmington, that tackle against Welling in the Kent Cup when he arrived on loan, instant legend. Matt, Dan yeah. Lambert.
Dan Lambert, just going to find that one. I'm going to try and pronounce it. Ahmet Süleymanoğlu. It's got to be about him, says Dan, and not a name I know. But
Graham Martin with Michael Ngo again. Played one game against Chester, I think. Rice Shocker, I never saw him again.
Leo Morris, Luke Wolfenden. I'm not sure Luke Wolfenden. He made over 25 appearances for the club. But I don't think he's a one-hit wonder. Amazing player for certain, but
Tony
not one
Fletcher.
Game wonder. Tony Fletcher, Leke Odunsi, played a handful of games in early 2003, including the 10-man victory at Carshalton, Boston midfield, and earned a move to Southend.
Fantastic. I think that's about most of them. I really enjoyed that. Some names I've never heard of, some names I've heard of, and we've all got our little stories. And Matt, hang on, sorry. Sorry, apologies. The latest score update from
It's 1-0 to Charlton, and we were very nearly 2-0 down a second ago, but somehow the Charlton players missed it. So,
blimey.
Yeah, we're on the ropes a bit.
I've got to send that apology because Paul Richard caught me the other day, and he said, I don't need to resubmit my one game wonder because you've already got it. I was like, yeah, no, I've got it saved, and I've lost it, Matt. So apologies to Paul if you're listening. Please submit and I'll share it again next week.
Submit it on the commentary tomorrow and we'll submit it on that. We'll put it out on the commentary as well.
Where are we tomorrow, Matt?
We are away at Chesterfield. We will be bringing you live commentary. You'll be delighted to hear. It'll be Jeff and I.
Last time we went there, we drew late on, didn't we?
Me and you commentated from the actual away section, didn't we? And we had the stewards come up to us and say, you're not live streaming the game, are you? And we said, no, we're certainly not. In fairness, they were lovely people, Chesterfield. Yeah, finished 1-1. George Porter with an early goal to put Bromley 1-0 up. Zavon Hines with a late penalty, and then we signed him the next week.
Football, eh?
Yeah, football.
Talking about Chesterfield, Matt, are the tickets on sale in advance, are they?
They are, actually, yes. Yeah.
So are the price the same on the day?
No, they do go up by £1 on the day. So if you are looking to save a quid, go to our website. I think they're still available on there now. So, definitely have a look at those. And obviously make sure you get them in the away section because the game is, of course, being segregated. Chesterfield, having a bit of a difficult season so far. They're 22nd in the table on 23 points with a goal difference of minus...
It's just iron someone out. On that pitch, by the way.
Oh dear, Cookie hasn't made it on yet. I see.
The ref's actually called it. He's not got a yellow card, him surely. It's a charity.
This is a proper ref. No, this is not, you know, an academy kid.
No, I'm not saying that.
This is
no.
A proper ref. Minus 12 goal difference from 23 games. They've had a difficult season, to say the least.
Oh no, straight in.
Oh, it's 2-0. Blimey.
Oh, it was a cross, Matt.
Oh, Mark Carr's had a nightmare.
Oh, 2-0. No.
But they've got a little bit. They've improved a little bit in their past few games. They got a 2-2 draw away to Aldershot last week, and that was courtesy of a 90th minute equaliser from Tom Denton, who actually scored an injury time equaliser against us last year, and people need no introduction to as one of the tallest players in this league, if not leagues above it as well. So I'm sure it's going to be a tough test. We beat them 2-1 here earlier this season. 2 goals from Michael Cheek, the second one of which, of course, he busted his eye, didn't he, and had to come off the pitch.
Gosh.
I've never seen an eye swollen like that ever. Obviously went 1-0 up and then Chesterfield scored, and a minute later, literally from the kickoff, Cheeks got his second and Bromley's second to win the game. Didn't know anything about it, as he was said, told congratulations by the physio, you just scored, and he had no idea that he just scored. So hopefully nothing of the like tomorrow. We want to see him score, of course, but no injuries, please. We've had enough of those.
And as you say, Matt, we're going to be providing live commentary
Indeed we are, yes. From about 2.50, 2.55, tune in to Bromley FC Live on Mixlr. The link will be on the Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc. So
this game
tune in and join us.
This game?
I don't know about you. I want to watch this.
And apologies if people feel we rushed through this. I think we've done well this week, Matt. We've got a lot of
videos.
Oh,
we've done brilliantly. Plenty of content, which makes up for last week.
Definitely. Big thank you to everyone who's tuned in, as always. As Matt refers to, we're going to be live from Chesterfield. So if you're not making the trip... hang on.
One more thing. Apologies. I did put on my notes. We've got Football Manager in the club shop now.
Do you make notes for this?
I do, yeah. We've got Football Manager in the club shop at a bargain price of £15, and they have been flying off the shelves. So plenty of items in stock. Go on our online club shop, bromleyfc.co.uk, click on club shop. I'm sure there's some Christmas presents that people will enjoy on there. So yeah, go and have a look.
Yeah, I don't think I can get my missus another Bromley mug. I appreciate it. Big thank you to everybody who's tuned in. We'll be live from Chesterfield. Big thanks to everybody who's listened. Don't forget to subscribe. You're supposed to rate it. What do people usually say at the end of a podcast? They ask them to subscribe,
like, comment.
If you subscribe, but then you get like a notification when the latest episode's up.
Turn notifications on. Yeah.
To wait. To see if we do. And they can rate us out of 5 stars. I think,
let's be honest, it's not going to be any less than 5, is it?
A big thank you. We'll be thank you to everyone who submitted their teams and constantly engaging with us. We'll be back again next week, and of course, we're live at Chesterfield. Thank you very much. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from, in Bromley.